Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Now, settle into the couch or lean back in the car seat.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
26 of the country's toughest competitors are about to go head-to-head in the toughest contest there is.
We have ourselves a contest.
This is Rugby League at its best.
Wow.
What about that?
Triple M Rocks the Footy. Yeah.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL on Triple M. And if you've just woken up, you don't know the scores by some chance. Of course, Friday it was the Storm 22-6 over the Sharks. So Storm first into the grand final. And then last night, the Roosters 12, the Rabbitohs 4. A great effort by the Roosters. Deserved winners over the Rabbitohs. So Melbourne and the Roosters will play in the grand final. We'll talk about that, of course, in the course of the day. We'll speak to the Storm assistant coach, Adam O'Brien. And one of the greatest names in rugby league, Mal Meninga, will join us in the course of the afternoon as well. But, of course, mostly we will talk grand final. We will talk about what happens with Billy Slater. We'll talk about Cooper Cronk's injury. You'll get all the latest. If anything develops today, you'll hear about it right here on Sunday Triple M NRL, thanks to Aveco. My name's Anthony Maroon. By the way, joining me from NRL 360, Paul Kent, welcome to you. What a weekend of footy.
It's been a great weekend of footy, Maroon. Really, really enjoyed the football of the weekend, particularly last night. Last night just had everything you look for in quality finals footy.
Yeah.
The old rivalry. How are you feeling today?
You just have to cop it on the chin. The better side won, didn't they, last night? They defended so well, the Roosters. And, you know, all you can do is congratulate them. They deserve to win, and they won. And congratulations to my boys for getting that far. I think we finished 11th or 12th last year, so it's a pretty good effort.
Do you know how you get over it, Anthony? You can sort of sing a little song, like, Here come the Roosters.
No, I don't think I'll be doing that. And, of course, Gordon Tallis is here as well. Hello, Gordy.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we feeling?
Fantastic. Live from our Triple M Brisbane studios, by the way, today. And from Fox League as well, from all the shows on Fox League, their chief league writer, James Triceps Hooper. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, thank you, the Redfern Rocket. More importantly, how are you after last night?
Yeah, look, I'm okay, mate. Yeah. I just cop it on the chin. It was a good game. The better team won. And congratulations to all the people in my street who are going to just rub it in and rub it in and rub it in. You know, there's one thing worse than a sore loser, and it's a sore winner. You got some
information. Sore winner.
You know, when you gloat. We know when you gloat. Oh. Ha ha. We
no
won,
Chinese.
You lost.
No Chinese after last night.
I'm on a Chinese. I won't be near South Junior's Chinese again till next March.
Well, why?
Yeah, because I don't eat Chinese unless Souths win. That's my thing. My late father, the great Herb, used to say, if Souths win, we have Chinese. In 1977, we only had Chinese. Three times. In 1989, we had it 12 weeks in a row.
My old man used to say that when he'd have a winning day on the punt. And similar to you, in 1977, we had three times.
So you've got some information on Jake Friend there, mate?
Yeah, obviously there was some big question marks coming out of last night's game around Jake Friend, Maroon. And the news is that he has been charged with a grade one dangerous contact charge by the match review committee fortuitously. If he enters an early guilty plea, the penalty is only 75 points. So, therefore, that will make him available for selection, most importantly, for the grand final. So, that's good news for Jake. The base penalty is 100 points. So, if he was to contest it, he might risk missing a week. But I don't think he will. I think they'll cop it on the chin. And Jake will be fit and available, which is great news for all the Chooks and all their supporters.
Okay. Storm 22, Sharks 6, Roosters 12, Rabbitohs 4. That score is all thanks to Tyre Power. Receive $50 gift card when you buy 4 selected BF Goodrich tyres. We're going to take a song. We're going to come and back. We're going to talk about those games over the weekend. We'll start off with the Roosters Rabbitohs as Triple M rocks the NRL. Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Iveco. Go and see Iveco for a great deal on a great truck. Visit your local Iveco dealer to check out the special edition 888 Race Engineering inspired Daily Light truck. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon. And thanks to CC's Footy and CC's, you just can't say no. From last night's Rabbitohs Roosters game, here are some of the highlights.
The Triple M NRL play of the day.
Last tackle, Kiri on the left, a high kick to the left corner. Here comes Tupou, it's off hands. Momorowski takes it, plants it down. And if it's legal, truly, the Roosters are off to the grand final. Here's Ashley Fine.
Score Momorowski, bounce the ball in goal. Have a decision.
It's a try.
What a moment. Big moment.
What a moment. your second game of first grade, and it's going to take your team to a grand final.
Thanks to CC's. Footy and CC's, you can't say no to that. Just say CC's.
Yeah, that's our call team. We'll be on deck next Sunday from noon right across. Dan will call the game for you. If you're having a barbie or something next week, the Triple M NRL coverage starts at noon right through to full time. So I hope you'll join us through the course of the afternoon. Gordy, Kenty and Hoops, let's talk about this game. Gordy, we're just talking about it off air, and I was talking about how good the Roosters' defence was last night. And you said, you know, when you bash people, they'll drop the ball.
Oh, yeah, like you were complaining about how much drop ball there was, and it was because you got to protect your body, and all year everybody's been cuddling, you know, tickling and cuddling, and they sort of tackle chest on and they hold them up and get more people in the tackle. But last night it was shoulders in, ripping in, so you protect your rib cage so the ball comes down a little bit more because your elbows drop a little bit more. And, you know, and then when you get a big shot on you, Maroon, your first thing is your ego, so you spin out really quick and get up and try to play the ball to show you that it doesn't hurt, and you end up losing control of the footy. And then that happened a few times when the big boys collided. And, mate, I loved it. And that's a part of the game that I love. And I wish it was in there every weekend, but it can't be because of certain rules. But South and Roosters showed the way finals football should be played.
All right, boys, let me just interrupt you there. We've got a very, very special guest on the phone here from the Roosters. He played 302 games for the club, part of a premiership, and just a legend of the club still. I'm talking about the great Mini, Anthony Minicello. Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Fantastic, mate. Another grand final for your club. It must be a great atmosphere to be around at the moment.
Yeah, no, it's been great. It was a good game last night. It's a good atmosphere. I thought the boys through the week were quite relaxed. There's a good energy in the office, and you know, they've worked hard to get there this year. You know, there's obviously some changes pre-season, and they tweaked their attack midway through the year, and really just progressed and got better as the year went on. And I think, you know, it's, to be fair, you got the two best defensive teams going at it on Sunday, which is going to be fantastic.
Hey, Mini, what is it about the Roosters in South? So I saw Brayton Asher on Fox Sports, and he said when he was playing for all South juniors, there's one thing that he got told, drummed into him, that you just got to hate the Roosters, and there's proper hatred. Then he goes, then I went and played for the Roosters, and it's exactly the same. There's only one thing you're supposed to do is hate South. Why is there such a rivalry?
No, look, I think it goes back in the 1900s, you know. Both obviously foundation clubs. And then we had a certain area that was mapped out for juniors, Eastern Suburbs juniors, like Coogee and Randwick and stuff like that. And I think South Sydney didn't steal those areas off us, but had something changed in the council areas. And that's when it started from then, you know. And it's just been a hatred for 100 years. And it is. As soon as you come into the Roosters, it's like, you know, we don't care if you lose every game, but you have to beat the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Well, Manny, that's one of the famous stories, isn't it? That Ronnie Coote was brought up, and his father played for the Roosters, and he was brought up in what was then considered, back in the day, where you had to play for your club that you came out of in their junior area. And he was living in the Roosters area, so they actually got the boundaries changed, so he became a South junior.
That's right. Yeah. You probably know more about it than me, Kenny, but that's exactly what happened. So that's when the hatred started to build from there. And look, it's just where, you know, as you come into the club, anyone that comes in the club and puts the red, white and blue on, or even the South jersey on, it's just bred that, you know, you got to beat your neighbour. It's they're always there. They're around. You see them in the streets, and you mix with the people, and they're all great guys off the field. But when it comes to on-field combat, it's all on.
I was walking into the game last night and stopped at the Captain Cook to have a quick refreshment. Just to show you what they're like, the pub was just, it was 50% Roosters jerseys, 50% Rabbitohs jerseys. At one point, a bloke walked past, and a bloke bumped in. He said, "Oops, excuse me." And then he turned, he said, "Actually, I don't excuse me." He said, "You're wearing a Roosters jersey." He took it back.
They're opposite side. All that band is a lot of fun, you know. I don't think there was too much drama in the crowd. I think it was all done in good spirit, so it was a great game.
It's one of the great rivalries, Mini, and definitely deserves to be celebrated. Congratulations. I want to take you back to what you said just off the top about the fact that, you know, earlier on in the season, there was a lot of fanfare around the fact that the Roosters had recruited Cooper Cronk, you'd brought in James Tedesco, but the attack was a little bit clunky. And I think it was actually that Anzac Day game where you're beaten against the Dragons, where the Roosters then made some significant changes to the way that they're playing. Just talk us through exactly what happened there.
Yeah, look, I think firstly, getting almost a new spine with Teddy and Cooper takes a while to gel and get the combinations going as well. And it was a World Cup year, so all of those boys didn't come back to the new year. So it's hard to build those combos within a month before you start playing trials. And then I suppose our attack could have been a little bit too structured, people might say. And then we tweaked that, you know. Robbo and JT, our attacking coach, they tweaked it throughout the year. And as the year progressed, the combo started to build. And we're always confident in the team's ability to be here on grand final day if we got everything right. And the boys did. They worked hard at it. And they built those combinations through the season. And now we find ourselves in the grand final.
Hey, Minnie, you've been coached by some great coaches over the years, but what makes Trent Robinson so different and why is he so successful?
Firstly, I think he knows the Roosters culture. You know, he played at the club back in 98, so he knows what the club's all about, and Nick Politis and the board, the way they run things. So firstly, he brought the red, white and blue back to the players and what it meant in the area back in the day. And then he's just got sort of all areas covered. He's, you know, very well versed in sports science and then very personal, easy to talk to. And I think the way he coaches his defence, I've never seen it so detailed with any other coach that I've experienced with. And that's what we build our game on defence. And the way he just coaches the edge defence is pretty amazing.
You've been coached by Wayne Bennett, so how does he differ to Wayne's defence? Because Wayne's a defensive coach, so how can he be so different to most other coaches?
I think they're completely different coaches too. Like Wayne Bennett's a great coach. I love being coached by him in the Australian team. I think his asset is the getting into players' heads, just making them feel comfortable, making them want to play for Wayne Bennett, and you know, you don't want to let him down. You know, that's his art. You know, he gets the players to play for something and creates a good feeling each week. Where Robbo does that a little bit, but he's very technical in the way he brings about his defence and even the way he coaches. You know, he's got the technical side sort of really fine-tuned.
Manny, just on that then, that defence, because it's been the standout for the Roosters all season. We know that Robbo, that's the emphasis about setting up a grand final team is to have a all around the defence. Now, the Rabbitohs last night were a side who were the best attacking side all year. And second to that, they attacked in a very similar manner to Melbourne. How important is that this week?
It's pretty important. I think for the Rabbitohs, they have been the best attacking side all year. But if I could say, they're sort of predictable in a little sense, but it's so hard to stop the way they attack the Bunnies. But then we have to go to solving Reynolds' kicks as well. So that's another dimension that South Sydney have. In the Storm, that's going to be another challenge as well, because when you look at their defence, it's very similar to ours. And the way they built their game on as well is, you know, hopefully Billy Slater is playing. His organisation of the line is second to none. So they give the defensive line the best opportunity to get up and make those tackles. So you'll see some really good tactical stuff, I think, on Sunday. Because I think something with two good defensive teams, you need to have something up your sleeve in attack to maybe that no team has seen to try and pull this defence apart.
Yeah, and that's the thing he does too, Robbo really prides himself on being able to sit there and come up with a game plan that just completely negates the opposition attack and just takes all their weapons away from them. And he did a magnificent job last night with that.
Yeah, mate, it was fantastic. And if you look at our completion rate, it wasn't that good, to be honest. You know, so but we, the boys just backed up in their defence, backed it up. Teddy organised the line well. You could just see the urgency in everyone making tackles, getting back, third man out, all that type of stuff. It was just, you could see that their defensive line was on. And I think if we beat Melbourne, our completion rate needs to be much higher there.
Minnie, you touched on Billy Slater a moment ago, and obviously you played plenty of football against him. What do you make of the charge, and do you think he's a good chance of getting off?
It was a shoulder charge, but I want to see him play. Hopefully he can get that downgraded or get off the charge. You know, I think probably a little bit too severe, I suppose, but you want, you know, it's his last game as well. You want to see the best Melbourne Storm team play, and you want to see Billy Slater play. So I'm happy for him to play.
Yeah, hopefully common sense prevails when he rolls down to the judiciary on Tuesday night. What about Cooper Cronk? That was the other massive story out of last night. Such a brave effort to survive that game. And then we hear news this morning that he's got a major injury to his left shoulder rotator cuff. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it was pretty small last night coming off the field. It was, I think he went for scans, and you know, the rotator cuff is not the best. So I'm not too sure. I haven't seen the boys this morning, but just pad it up, get some needles in there and go for it. One more game.
Minnie, is it actually possible to do that, though? Because there are injuries you can needle, and there are other injuries that are like mechanical-type injuries that once you're busted there, it's like a broken arm. Once the arm's broken, no amount of needles is going to actually make the arm be able to function again. And my understanding is the rotator cuff, although it's a very small muscle right in the middle of the shoulder, it's a similar injury, a torn rotator, nearly impossible to recover in a week.
Yeah, you're right, Kenty. I remember Luke Phillips had a similar injury in 2002 when we won the premiership, and he needled it and nothing happened. He got through the game and he had to retire after that year because his shoulder was completely gone. So it is a tough injury. You can only needle sort of joints and, you know, cartilage and all that type of stuff. I think the rotator cuff is a tough one to do. So we're hoping, you know, we obviously need him. So hopefully he can get that recovery through the week and get on the field.
Let me ask
didn't Paul Gallen have the same injury, and he doesn't pass or kick as much, and Gell's a tough kid. So you think if you could have got out there, Paul Gallen would have played, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, I know. Gell, you know how tough he is. He's played through many injuries, and he had to pull out of that game. So, and he's not a passer or a kicker, so it's going to be a big ask.
What about Minnie? If he's in a similar state to how he finished last night's game, and because rotator, the other thing is that I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of improvement in the arm this week if it's a rotator.
Yeah.
If he's in a similar state, does Trent Robinson take the risk and play him, and even though he might be just playing with one wing, or does he go out and say, no, we need a fit player, a healthy player, and we're going to pick someone else at seven?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Depending on what percentage you can get to with recovery, but I think you need someone out there that's almost 100%. It's tough. I think when we played the prelim a few years ago against the Broncos up there, and Mitchell Pearce played and he had that knee injury, and he sort of wasn't right. And, you know, he tried to convince himself that he was, and he had to come off within the first half. And, you know, obviously we went down that night, and Broncos got us quite convincingly. So that's the question for the medical staff and the coaching staff, who really sit down with Cooper as well and say, you know, where's it at in a few days' time? Where's it at a day before the game? You know what I mean? I think we'll give him every chance to play because he's a vital component in our team.
All right, Minnie. Well, listen, mate, all the best for the grand final. No doubt we'll see you out there on grand final. We might even get you up for a bit of another interview if you don't mind.
Yeah, no worries, mate. Sounds good.
Good on you, Anthony Minicello. Best of luck for next Sunday.
Thanks, guys.
Sunday Triple M NRL, those interviews, as always, thanks to Celebrations, helping you celebrate. So the Roosters are into the grand final against the Melbourne Storm next Sunday. We're going to talk more about these two sides in the course of the afternoon. We'll take a break and come back and ask the boys about the Rabbitohs, where they are now after last night, the Sam Burgess thing, did it affect them, and everything else involving last night's game. It's on the way as Triple M rocks the NRL grand final.
Triple M. footy. Let's go! Across Australia.
Oh, yeah, it's Triple M NRL, all thanks to Iveco, and we're rocking the grand final next Sunday. Make sure if you do come out to ANZ Stadium, you drop by and say g'day to the Triple M crew. All the people you love from Triple M will be there. Gordy, who's with us today, of course, Kenty, Hoops, Gerds, Wendell, we'll all be there at some point in the afternoon. So I hope you'll say g'day if you're coming out to ANZ Stadium next week for the grand final. Last night, of course, the Roosters getting up and putting the Rabbitohs to bed for season 2018, but it was a good season for the Rabbitohs. They went on, a winning streak of 9 games in a row, almost won the minor premiership, and it was a great turnaround on what had happened last year. But last night, I don't know, they looked to me, Hoops, clunky from the very start. When they got in those attacking, you know, inside the 10 or inside the 20, those attacking raids that normally look so streamlined looked really lumpy and clunky last night.
Yeah, I think as Gordon pointed out earlier, the Roosters' rushing defence was so relentless and so orchestrated that it made it very difficult for Souths to have the time or the space, or especially for Damien Cook, who's been electric out of dummy half all season. They really did a terrific job in nullifying his influence on the game. It was the same with Adam Reynolds. He didn't have a lot of time with the ball, as much as his kicking game was good, and they really targeted Daniel Tupou. The Roosters were just tremendous in the way that they were able to limit South's greatest strength, which is their attack.
Yeah, I think Anthony Minicello tipped us into it earlier. It was just a masterclass from Trent Robinson. They just went away, and they came up with a defensive game plan. And we, so often in this game, when we talk about it, we talk about the attack, and because that's what we watch as fans. We watch the football, and we very rarely watch how teams defend. Even though it's so important, but it was a deliberate game plan that just totally unpicked South, and every asset they had offensively, the Roosters just found a way to really negate the effectiveness of it. I think what they did last night, the Roosters, they were under so much pressure there at various stages of the game with back to back sets on their goal line, and you sort of, you know, the history of the season showed us that South will bust through soon. They'll get here. And I think it was 8-4 at the time, and you thought South are going to go. And it was a real problem for the Roosters going up in fours rather than sixes. That put a lot of extra pressure on them. So at some point there, I thought South will get through here and it'll be a 10-8 game and this is how it's going to go. But the Roosters were magnificent. They were brave and they were just kept turning up, and they were smart the way they defended.
Hey, Paul, you were there live, so watching it on TV, just how fast their line speed was. And normally when you do it, you know, you can do it for 20 minutes and then there's a penalty or you just can't do it. There's not enough energy in your body to race up 10 metres for 80 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, at points, were the referees a little bit lenient with the Roosters?
No, I don't think they were lenient. I think the Roosters just came there in a sign of really good coaching, they came there with a strategy to defend differently than what they have defended. They did a similar thing in when the Roosters won the comp in 2002, when Ricky Stewart was coach. If you remember, Roosters were working on a tackling style all year, and it wasn't until late in the season that they actually then implemented it in the game. But what they did, if you remember back then, they were the first to start getting threes and fours into tackles.
Yeah.
And they really started gang tackling everybody, and they started doing a bit of that catch hold, and then they weren't wrestling them to the ground, they actually then driving them backwards and dropping them on their back. But that it was a high energy defense that they had going, and they had trained for it all season without actually using it. And then late in the season, Ricky Stewart, the coach, hit the go button and off they went. And that's when they really turned the corner as a team. This is different, what the Roosters did last night. But again, it was a high-energy defence. And it's not probably something you could do every week. But this late in the season, it's horses for courses.
But they could do it against South because Cook's got one plan. And that's when he's got a quick play of the ball. And when he didn't get a quick play of the ball last night, he got frustrated. He made some poor errors going down the stretch. That's just through frustration and not being in that environment where if they do that against Cameron Smith, he's got that many tricks.
Yeah, but they won't do that against Cameron Smith.
Control the tempo of the game.
They won't. See, that's what you people are going to are missing here is Roosters found a way to defend against Souths. That's what they did.
They'll come up with a different plan for the Storm.
They won't defend Cameron Smith the same way they defend Damien Cook because they're totally different players. And you got the thing about defending against Cameron Smith, the difficulty, and this is the greatness of Cameron that people miss. When you defend against Cameron, Cameron's got a couple of little plays that he likes, as every good player does. They're just their little signature pep plays. With Cameron, though, you figure out a way to shut that down. Cameron figures out you have shut that down, so he'll then find another way. He'll then say, okay, this is how they're defending me now, so this is what I'm going to do. So I'm going to use what they're doing to shut me down. I'm now going to use that against them. So you with me, Maroon?
I'm with you.
So that's what you're the one bloke I was worried about. what he does.
Mate, I was looking at you thinking that you were thinking about that fly in the car again. Yeah, yeah. I thought you'd hit the brakes and the fly had hit the back windscreen again.
It's either that or Ezzy.
How is Ezzy? Is Ezzy all right?
Mate, don't be. Yes,
I'm not,
he's fine.
Mate, I'm
he's
genuinely fine. Concerned yeah. about the bloke. I know
no,
that
he's all right. You tell me that great
heart,
story
you
through
spend
the week
a lot of time with him.
About Shirley Bassey. That was a great story.
That was a great story. I'm not sure we can share that with all our listeners. No. But I tell you what, he had some detail,
didn't he? What? Yes. Anyway, Kenny, we cut you off there, mate. I'm sorry about that.
No, but that. So that's what. So Cameron Smith will be defended against differently against the Roosters. Okay, but what the Roosters will do is they'll have various ways to shut Cameron down this week, and they will employ those. Now, whether that's as effective as it was last night, we're still yet to see.
Paul, what happens is it's very hard to shut Melbourne down, and when the fatigue gets in, and if you do something all week, you will just it's muscle memory. If you do it all year, and no matter how tired you get, you will keep on slotting into that. But if you keep on trying to change, and I played with a coach like in Brian Smith, but when fatigue comes in and you play different parts of the field and, you know, different plans, you know, in defense for different sides, it's bloody hard to remember when fatigue comes in.
Yeah, but the Roosters are a side that they do purpose pick how they defend. They don't defend the same way every week, no matter who they're playing.
I'm going to watch that.
I remember talking to Trent Robinson years ago, and he said that there's about 12 to 15 different ways to tackle. I mean, like, and it all depends. And you think about it. There are things like whether you're the first man in, you're second man in, that determines where you hit the body. Whether some players run and they run basically with their chest up. Other guys will come in sideways. Other guys even begin to back into tackles now.
Yeah.
You're seeing that. So they've got to be defended differently. So there's all these different variations, and the Roosters are schooled on that all the time. The same as their structure in defence, how they actually line up. Minnie was alluding there about how well Trent Robinson coaches, particularly edge defence, and that's something that Melbourne have been very strong at this year. Melbourne have been very good at playing from sideline to sideline. So they'll get the ball wherever they are, they'll shoot to a sideline, and then when they get hit on that sideline and get tackled there, a lot of teams like to reset, and they'll start playing towards the middle to reset. Melbourne have changed that. South did the same thing this year. Once they get on one sideline, they just then take the ball right across to the other sideline, and then what they're trying to hope there is to capitalise on teams, because teams used to reset, teams used to condense in defence, and they used to jam up next to each other, make the holes between them much smaller, so it's harder to punch through. But when they started to throw from sideline to sideline, they were getting too long passes. I like the old Raiders days where, you know, Boxer Walters to Ricky to Laurie, suddenly they're going around the defence. Mm. And that's what they've been doing this year.
The other positive for the Roosters, Kenty, will be the returns of Latrell Mitchell and Dylan Napa. And you talk about what a coaching masterclass it was from Trent Robinson last night. One thing that I thought he took a real risk on was playing the young bloke, Paul Momorowski, who had only played one. Give us your best.
Absolutely. I mean, he's playing for the Tigers next year. He's going to
West Tigers. He signed with West Tigers. But if you go back to last year's grand final qualifier, and Trent Robinson was criticised because he had two back rowers starting in the centres. It was Ryan Madison and it was Mitchell Orbison, and he played Latrell Mitchell on the wing, and he had Daniel Tupou on the bench. So
yeah, that's right, because he dropped Joseph Manu too last year, didn't he?
That's right.
Joseph Manu was available, but he didn't play him. But that Momorowski, like, for him to play two first-grade games, to come into a pressure cooker to mark Dane Gagai, who has played big games, I think
he's
an unbelievable
Wally Lewis
medal.
Yeah, he's a Wally Lewis
medal. So, mate, and you know what? It was even better scenes because he walked over to his family, and his family was in the crowd, and they just got really emotional. And he mightn't play. And that Do you know what? I reckon they knew that was his last game for the Roosters. You know, because it's fair to say that Latrell's going to come back in.
Of course.
You know, you'd love to find a spot for him on the bench in the 17 for the job he did last night for that club.
All right, boys. In closing, the Rabbitohs, it was a great year. They're coming, a new coach.
No, mate, we were talking about
you
the Roosters.
You always got to take it back to South.
No, we were talking about the Roosters.
Yeah, I know.
South didn't make the grand final.
Front page of Little Bay Bugle this morning, Roosters beat Rabbitohs.
Well, there's reports out of the Little Bay Bugle that you've got the South Sydney flag at half-mast out the front of the Little Bay compound.
I do have a Rabbitohs flag outside my house. It's at half-mast today. But I'm only saying from the Rabbitohs' point of view, we've done the Roosters, now the Rabbitohs. It was a good year anyway.
Yeah, it was a damn good year.
Yeah, Siebes is probably a good chance at Dally M Coach of the Year. Damien Cook and the year he's had. Adam Reynolds. Angus Crichton, of course, goes to the Roosters, but then we uncover Cameron Murray. So, yeah, it's been a good year.
It's been a fantastic year
for South Sydney. And just on Adam Reynolds, last night in the first half when the whips were cracking, his kicking game was a couple of those kicks. Looked like they were going 50, 60, 70 metres on the fly. He was absolutely brilliant last week to kick those three field goals under pressure. So, look, it was a great performance from South Sydney. Where they come, they've changed. They've changed their style of play, which I actually really enjoy. Like South Sydney got a bit boring, but they're really good to watch. And I think with Seabolt now, I think he would have learned a lot more out of last night's game and where they got to be heading into the future. But it's positive signs for South Sydney.
All right. Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to our mates at Iveco. And look, as I say, we'll be at the grand final next week. Last night was the last game at a venue I've just loved watching footy at for the last 30 years, the great Sydney Football Stadium.
Only because you get free tickets.
No, mate, I've got a press pass. I get free tickets everywhere.
Okay. Mate, I'm just glad. Normally it's just an ANZ Stadium rap-a-thon.
Because ANZ Stadium gets a bad rap, and it's a wonderful venue.
Well, no, it's because you're on the payroll.
I'm not on the payroll.
You are.
I'm not on the payroll anywhere. I'm flat out being on the payroll here. So what we'll do is we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll ask the boys about their great moments that they've enjoyed at the mighty Sydney Football Stadium when we return and Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final.
Welcome back. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, welcome back to it. It's the Storm 22, the Sharks 6, the Roosters 12, the Rabbitohs 4. And those scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. Boys, by the way, Chris at Tyre Power Rosebery said you blokes can go in any time and he'll look after you. Whatever you drive, you don't know what goes on your car, you can go in there. No, there's no love there. Just,
what have you already negotiated with Chris?
He's got some new rims, haven't you?
Did you get your rims polished again? I
just needed new tyres and wheels, so I went there and I paid for them. So I just got
how much?
Good service and good advice. What I paid is not your business what I paid for.
Oh, yes, it is. Because
okay, how much you pay for your house, Gordon? What are you asking me how much I paid for my wheels and tyres? Whatever it cost.
I built it from the ground up.
How much? Seriously. Anyway,
just a set of tyres, mate.
It was.
Question.
I think it was might have been 1500 or something. I was good. That come up it was good. I'm saying it was good
you
service.
You have no idea.
It was good service, is what I'm saying for a sponsor of Triple M. Thank you very much. Now, the SFS, one of the great rugby league grounds. We've all enjoyed our time there over the years. Now, I was going to ask you guys about your favourite moment there. I was there in '88. First South Roosters game.
Wow. Yeah.
My good friend Steve Maven scores the winning try for the Rabbitohs in the corner. The Rabbitohs win that game. We went through the archives. We don't have that audio, but I think we all love that great game, the 89 grand final. Yeah, there it is. That's the 89 grand final. What about you, Hoops? You would have been some plenty games at the great SFS over the years.
Well, sadly, I was at that game as a kid, and I was a mad Balmain Tigers fan, and it's still heartbreaking listening to that audio and seeing Blocker Roach and Steve Edmed come off at a critical stage of the game. And it took Balmain fans a long, long time to process that loss. But I was also at the 91 grand final, Maroon, and that was one of the great showcase grand finals. It had a heap of big name talent in it, the likes of Mark Geyer, Greg Alexander, Brad Fittler. And then you had that Canberra Raiders side, that champion Canberra Raiders side with Mal Meninga and Ricky Stewart and Laurie Daly and all of those sorts of players. So it was an epic game. And thankfully, Royce Simmons was one of the stars of the show.
What dropout by Canberra in an evident.
Yeah, that was another great day. But, Paul Kent, you've brought up one that I think we'd all remember as well.
Yeah, look, my favourite one was 97. I was standing at 97. And obviously, remember, this was at the height of the Super League war when there was two competitions. And the Knights were the unlikely underdogs in the side, in the grand final up against Manly. And in that game, right at the end, if you remember, the scores were level. And the Knights... I was standing in the tunnel during this game, and the Knights are on one side of me, and the Manly Seagull bench is on the other side of me. And at one point, the Knights went into perfect field goal position, looked like they're going to kick a field goal, and all the Knights were up cheering, and the Manly guys were sort of hiding and watching through their fingers. They couldn't watch what was going on. Then Joey Johns has the field goal attempt and misses it, and suddenly the total mood flipped and the Manly guys were up and the Newcastle guys were distraught. Then the Newcastle had another crack and they shot it out to the sideline and it looked like they'd blown the chance for a second field goal. And so the Manly guys were then joyous and they were up, we're going into extra time, this is great. And the Newcastle guys are, oh no, we've blown an opportunity here to win it. And then obviously Joey Johns picks the ball up at dummy half, shoots out a dummy half, puts Darren Albert over.
Yeah.
And once again, it flipped around again. It was fascinating just sitting there in that tunnel, listening to the flip around in fortunes of both benches as they thought they were going to win it, going to lose it, and off it went.
There's 20 seconds on the clock. Albert, he will play it. 21 metres away. Down the blind, Andrew Johns. Inside for Albert. Albert will score. Albert will score. Newcastle have won.
Yeah, and there it is, and arguably the best caller in the history of our great game, Rabs Warren, calling that one the 97 grand final. We're just looking at our memories of the Sydney Football Stadium. I think it's a shame to see it go. Gordy, tell us, what about you, mate? You got any memories?
Oh, yeah, there's some great memories. Obviously, you guys are reminiscing, and they've all been really good memories that I remember. But I couldn't really go for the Broncos in the early years because I was playing against them for the Dragons, so I'm going to go for... a Queensland try, I think in 1994, game one, I think is probably the greatest team try ever scored there, and Mark Coyne was on the end of it.
Trailing 12-10, Langer pushing it wide, Walters onward, Khan joins in, floats the pass for Renoff, Renoff down the touchline, beats one, gets it in field, Hancock gets it on, Queensland are coming back, Darren Smith for Langer. Langer gets it away. Here's the big fella. Gets the pass on. Coyne goes for the corner and gets the try. Queensland, it's a miracle.
Oh, yeah. What about that one? Stello.
Unbelievable.
That's not a try. That's a miracle.
Yeah, there it is. So that was the final game at the Sydney Football Stadium last night in front of about 44,000 people. I'm sorry to see the ground go. I think it's a wonderful... It's a wonderful part of the world. It's a great place to watch rugby league. And to me, maybe it's just my age showing here, Hoops, but to me it's still like a brand new ground. And I know people whinge about
But it's not gone forever, Maroon. It will come
back. I know it'll come back, but it's just, just my own personal opinion, I don't know why we've got to rip it down. If it needs more toilets, get it more toilets. If it needs more bars, give it more bars. It's a perfect...
Isn't there cancer in the concrete or something like that, Andy?
There's all sorts of problems with it. There are other problems too. It does need to go.
It hasn't had a coat of paint since 1988.
But it's only 30 years old. I mean,
it hasn't had enough done to it. If you go
That's a life
overseas
fan.
And go to, or you go down to Amy Park in Melbourne, or you go up to Suncorp in Brisbane, or you go overseas and go to some of the brilliant venues in the US. They are state of the art. They're amazing. They make you want to go to the game. Whereas at the moment in Sydney, we haven't got that. So we've got to try something different, Anthony. That's why they're refurbishing, rebuilding the stadiums.
All right.
Well, Parramatta is going to be sensational next year.
44,000 there last night. A wonderful way to have the last game of rugby league there between the Rabbitohs and the Roosters. The Roosters getting up. But where there's a million memories we haven't got to from the Sydney Football Stadium, here's just a little bit of a look back at what's happened in the last 30 years.
The Sydney Football Stadium. Rest in peace. The 1989 Grand Final. Canberra Raiders defeat the Balmain Tigers.
And they're pulled out.
Grand Final. The Raiders and Panthers.
I couldn't see much in the tackle. Guyer has got 10 minutes.
MG in the sin bin.
Mark Guyer's in the bin for 10 minutes.
And then for the final try, MG gets a try assist, throwing the ball to Roy Simmons.
Short drop out by Cameron and Everton.
Oh, goes Guyer! Guyer gets it, Roy Simmons! Try! Yes! That's it! The Grand Final's gone!
State of Origin, 91.
Well, I think Mark Guyer was in the middle
the
of it.
The infamous blue between Mark Guyer and Wally Lewis.
Oh, Guyer and Lewis. They're mouthing off at each other over the top of David Manson's head. Big Mark Guyer towering over it. Lewis again says something to Guyer. They push and shout. Oh, boy.
And then the famous try that was a miracle.
Queensland are coming back. Darren Smith for Langer. Langer gets it away. Here's the big fella. Gets the pass on. Coyne goes for the corner and gets the try. Queensland, it's a miracle.
Oh, yeah. What about that one?
That's not a try. That's a miracle.
1992, U2 on the Zoo TV Tour. The Bledisloe, the Wallabies and All Blacks, and George Gregan's incredible try-saving tackle.
Oh, that is a save by Gregan as Wilson went for the match-winning try. What a moment in time that was. The new young star of Australian rugby stopped him.
1997, the NRL Grand Final was Newcastle and Manly.
To Albert. Albert's tackle 11 metres out.
And who could forget the Darren Albert try?
We're going to have another shot. Albert plays it to Andrew Johns. Blindside Andrew Johns. Andrew Johns back to Albert. Albert! We've beat the legend. We've beat all the crap tactics through the week in the newspaper from the Manly camp. And the Newcastle Knights players have gone absolutely berserk. What a fairy tale.
2009, Pearl Jam Live.
No!
Coldplay. The Sydney Football Stadium. Rest in peace.
Yeah, absolutely love the Sydney Football Stadium. Sunday Triple M NRL, Kenty Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Now, stick around because still to come, we'll take a little bit of a look at the Sharks Storm game from Friday night. The great Mal Meninga will call in for a little bit of a chat as well. And around the grounds, things that are happening outside of the grand final, of course, where's the Penrith thing at the moment? Where are the Tigers at for next year? What's going to happen with the coaching thing there? Or Brisbane. There's a whole bunch of things that we'll just discuss that don't relate to the Rugby League Grand Final. And it's coming up next as Triple M rocks the footy.